He was driven out. He ate grass. His body was wet with the dew. His hair grew like eagle's feathers. His nails like bird's claws. I've seen some drawings of him like that in children's Bible. And some of them, they draw him looking like a little baboon. No? And a little monkey in the children's Bible cartoon. But it's not exactly that. They should read their Bible carefully. Actually, he looked like a big oversized chicken. Because here it says it was like feathers. So they should draw it a bit differently. Imagine feathers all over. And claws. They go cluck, 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 cluck. It's amazing that he was not barbecue for the turkey. I'm sure Daniel was around. What happened in his kingdom? Daniel was there. And I believe it was through Daniel that the kingdom continued to be governed. But this is the good ending in verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned to me. For the glory of my kingdom, my honor, splendor returned to me. Verse 37. I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways justice. Verse 34. I lifted my eyes to heaven, my understanding returned, and I bless the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forevermore. Some Bible scholars, not all of them, believe that Nebuchadnezzar possibly is safe. But I'm not too sure about him myself. So I have no opinions on that. But I have to bring to you all the different views. Because of that statement, there is a possibility, I will acknowledge it, there is a possibility that when you get to heaven, you say, hey, Nebu, you're here too. Right? There may be a possibility. And we do not know. So, it's not that important anyway in that area. Whether he's there or not, that doesn't make any difference. Some people choose to quarrel over these things. So you believe Nebu is there or not? Don't believe, you're no more my friend. This fellowship, these are not important points. But just to let you know, there is a possibility. Some scholars point to the possibility. So Nebuchadnezzar somehow died, and chapter 5 is, although Belshazzar looks like his son, history records he is actually his grandson. And in those days, it's a custom to call even grandson or great-grandson sons. And Belshazzar makes another filter error when he used the holy cups from the temple. But here's the part where Daniel comes in. As they were celebrating using the holy vessels of God, in verse 5, in the same hour, the fingers of a man's hand appeared and wrote opposite the lampstand on the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote, and all of them didn't know what to do, because on the writing on the wall put was, as mentioned in verse 25, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. Here we began to understand something about tongues and interpretation. Although tongues are not manifested in the Old Testament, yet the gift of interpretation here is manifested. Finally, when they called Daniel, and in verse 25, 26, 27, let's study the interpretation. Daniel says, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, in verse 26. The interpretation is, God has numbered your kingdom, finish it. Verse 27, you have been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Verse 28, Perez, your kingdom has been divided, given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, according to history, the Medo-Persian Empire marched in and took the entire kingdom. That night, in verse 30, Belshazzar, the king, died. And you notice something, there's a difference between interpretation and translation. Translation is word for word. Interpretation explains the words. And that teaches something about interpretation of tongues. Is it strictly the word mene, mene, tekel, euphasin means numbered, numbered, weight, numbered, numbered, weight, and divided. The word euphasin has been replaced by Perez there in verse 28 because of the translation. But it's the same word, Perez, mene, mene, tekel, Perez, euphasin. It means numbered, numbered, weight, divided. Four simple words. Numbered, numbered, weight, divided. That's what the hand wrote. Yet Daniel gave a long interpretation. He says in verse 26, God has numbered your kingdom. Now God is not mentioned there, but it's understood that it's God. Kingdom is not mentioned. It's just numbered, numbered. But the meaning and the essence of who is applied to is the kingdom. So Daniel said, it's the kingdom. And it's been found wanting. That is interpreted. Between number and weight and divided, the meaning behind it is it's found wanting. There's a lack. And Perez, tekel, means that you've been found weight in the balances. The word tekel just means weight. You've been weighed. And found wanting is an understanding from the next word. So you can see here certain keys in interpretation. And sometimes I could understand that when God says and speaks something in words, etc., God only gives a few words. Like, be patient. That's all He says sometimes. And yet there are sometimes other meanings that are behind what He's saying, which is a gift of interpretation. So sometimes when a person speaks in tongues, and then they interpret, it's not a translation. It's an interpretation. Which means there's some explanation given. And sometimes the word, here there are only four words. But you look at the interpretation, it's quite long. More than four words. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation. But what do we learn in chapter 5? That the gift of God is without repentance. Daniel, even in his old age, here he was quite old. He has served under Nebuchadnezzar, the first king. Now he's about this third king. Daniel had lived through these reigns. Daniel was no more in prominent position, but he was still active in some way. But yet, the gift was operational. The gift of God is never taken from your life. Remember that. It is on call all the time, as often as you need it. The gift of God is without repentance. You could serve the Lord for 100 years and that gift will still be there. If you leave the ministry, which some people do, they get discouraged, they leave the ministry and they never touch anything in regard to ministry for 25 years. Then they come back, so straight away when they come back to God, the gift is still there. Because the gift of God is without repentance. For Daniel, he never left the Lord. But whenever the gift was needed, it was there. Straight away, he could have the interpretation. Now he's quite an old man, possibly in his 60s. Started as a young boy. Now in his 60s. Remember what God gave him? The gift of interpretation of visions and dreams. When he saw it, he knew the interpretation. He didn't even need to wait because the gift of God was there. He straight away operated. So we learn one thing here. We realize that the gift of God are without repentance. The ministry of God is without repentance. Sometimes I realize the ministry failed, and we hear about ministries failing in the past 3 years. And some of us ask, will they ever be established? Let me tell you, if they really fully repent, God can re-establish them like that. There's nothing impossible to God. I realize there are stigmas involved, etc. But God knows the heart. What about David? He also fell. You remember David? He fell and he nearly lost his entire kingdom. He fell and he sinned against Bathsheba and against Uriah the Hittite. By the moment David repented, although he paid a certain price for that, he lost his child. And then after that, there was strife in his family. There's quite a price. But the kingdom was still there. The gifts of God are without repentance. God doesn't take them away. Whenever some of you could be sitting here, you could have left the ministry some time ago. And you're thinking, I can never get back to God. I've fallen too far away from God. Whatever area, or perhaps it's a certain talent in your life that you have not been faithful in. You've fallen way out in God. And you're sitting in this place or hearing this tape and you're thinking, I can never get back to God. Let me remind you that whether you're old now and you had it when you're young, whatever age you are, remember this, the moment you come back to God, it will still be there. It was your destiny. And it is your destiny. And it will be your destiny as long as you return to it. That book that is written about your life is still waiting for you to fulfill it. The moment you get back, He will restore the years and fulfill it. Then finally in chapter 6, it's just a repeated story. Again, you notice, before promotion comes a test that involves your entire life. And this time the test, Daniel is old, possibly in his 70s, 80s, some people believe. And here's a wonderful thing I like about Daniel, and I like his example. In verse 5, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law and his of his God. Verse 4. They're trying to find ways to charge against Daniel, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. What a fantastic testimony. If supposing somebody want to find fault with you, and they spy on you, they tap your phones, they do everything, would they be able to find fault with you? They could not with Daniel. I like his example. They could not. There was no error found in him, and he lived in the Old Testament before the manifestation of Christ. How did he do it? Remember what we taught long ago? Holiness and righteousness comes from wisdom. If you read carefully in the Bible, sin comes from foolishness. Note the two, that the foolish and the sinful are always related together in the book of Proverbs. But the wise and holiness are always related. How could Daniel live that way? Because of God's wisdom upon his life. So my friends, if you want to be like Daniel, remember, you don't have to follow him in his personality or everything else. It's not just Daniel. It is the spirit of wisdom on Daniel.